Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, welcome, it's Botcast time. We are into autumn. The nights are drawing in, but we've got a cracker of a Botcast for you today. I know that you'll be driving along, apart from Phil Coleman in Leicester. Everyone else who listens to the podcast will be driving. And sit back and relax on this one, because this is we've got a very interesting, a fascinating story for you today that we're going to take you through from the beginning to the end. Now, without giving too much away, it is a happy ending, or at least a happy ending before the next chapter, because there's going to be a next chapter as well. But it concerns a couple who are with me today. I'll introduce them in a moment or two. And they're not two people that you probably won't have heard of. We haven't talked much about them in EC circles, certainly not in recent times, but they have a genuinely fascinating story today, which I know you are going to enjoy, and also, I think, glean at least a couple of nuggets from, and one in particular which we'll get to, which is makes the story very worthy of its telling. So, with that little preamble, let me say good morning to Michael and Linda Shane. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great, thank doing you, Nigel. Great.
Another couple of Botcast virgins. now let's tell us, first of all, a little bit about the business, how it started. You guys are based up in Yorkshire.
Yep.
And the business is quite an interesting one. Who's gonna give us the background to this?
Okay, I'll fire. We started life many years ago as an instructor-led IT training company, and we grew the business quite substantially to have training centres in the City of London, in Hertfordshire, in Manchester, and we trained our customers literally all over the country. So we must have trained, I don't know, I did a calculation, 150,000 odd people, maybe more, okay, in pretty much every single discipline.
Okay.
Then we decided way back in 2009, mm-hmm, that, we don't really need to have all these classrooms and all these problems with people telling us, well, how was the course? Well, coffee was great or something. So what we did, we said we're going to get rid of all of our real estate, and we're going to build one great big classroom to hold a 250,000 people. And we were going to do that by doing it online,
yes,
taking all of our courses, breaking them down into really short videos, yep, like ScreenFlow videos, and each video was about 3 minutes long.
Okay.
And over the years, we built up the library, and I think at the last count, there was just circa tad under 2,000 videos.
Okay. And these are all on what sort of things are you teaching and training?
They cover every aspect of Microsoft Office.
Right? Okay.
So every version, every aspect, everything anybody ever wanted to know, well, virtually nearly, right, is included in those videos.
So this is about how to use Excel or Word or PowerPoint, yeah, these sorts of products.
Yeah.
And so you are training what I would call kind of normal people. You're not training techies and IT people.
Nope, just
this is training people in businesses, in offices, how to use software properly. That's
correct,
what the business does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we marketed this product, and we've sold it into pretty much the UK's and in some instances the world's largest businesses.
Okay.
And they take an annual license, which means that, we renew the license. Having developed each product, every time we sell it, it's pretty much 100% profit.
Okay, yes, of course, because the product sits, the courses, the modules, these little videos sit on a website, yep, that it's behind a login.
Correct.
So companies buy the access, and your clients are typically bigger companies. That's how you've built the business.
Yeah, I think the smallest sort of number of licenses that an organization would take would be maybe 100 licenses, therefore 100 Office users using, yeah, Microsoft Office. We've got licenses of thousands and thousands. In fact, close to here, one of our customers is Warwickshire County Council.
Okay.
And they have, I don't know, something like 5,000 users which use,
wow,
the system.
Okay. So the business is, it's been established, as you say, as an online business for sort of 7-8 years now. And I first met you guys kind of properly only really about 18 months ago, when I properly got to know you, when we started in a circle.
Yes, right.
And at that point, because let's bring Linda in here, because the business fundamentally is just the two of you.
Yeah.
So, and the office is
at home.
Okay. And you've got all these clients, so it's become quite a sizable kind of operation. And when I met you, you had some. If we just wind the clock back, as we're telling this story, we go back kind of 18 months ago.
Yeah.
What at that point? What was the goal? What was the when you came into Inner Circle? You had some plans and aspirations.
Yeah.
Talk us through where you were at in kind of the start of summer last year.
Okay, so we'd had a very bad couple of years, personally, and we needed to rebuild up to where we'd been before, because we'd let things go.
Mm-hmm.
And we came into Inner Circle looking for some help and guidance doing that. And we also had the same problem that most small businesses have, especially husband and wife partnerships. There was just the two of us.
Yeah.
So we needed people to throw ideas at and to come back at us and say, yes, this is right, no, this is wrong.
Yeah. Okay. And there were some growth plans.
Yeah.
Yep. We set out, we had this little sheet that you sent out as to where we are now, where we want to be in 18 months' time. We're about 6 months early, because we've basically achieved everything we wanted to achieve on that list in an incredibly short period of time, with a lot of hard work, but you know what, with a little bit of luck as well.
Yeah, so, well, because we want to be careful here, because fundamentally in life and business over time, you do kind of make your own luck. I think it was Gary Player, the golfer, wasn't it, who talked about the harder he practiced, the luckier he got.
Yeah.
But so you've gone on, because I mean, you spend, Mike, a lot of time on the road going and visiting prospects and people and doing deals and getting people signed up. And so the client base is kind of growing, and things are on track. The revenue is growing as well. And then earlier this year, you got an approach.
Yeah, within the Inner Circle group, we have this thing where we make commitments as to the stuff that we're going to do from one meeting to the next. And for Linda and I, this is quite serious. So we always like to overachieve on what we're doing. And
is interesting because it's become evident to me that's the case. But as you'll know, from not everybody, even in your group, not everyone has the same approach to this. And it's one thing to, we offer as part of Inner Circle a kind of accountability, and and people do make commitments at every meeting as to what's going to happen by the next meeting, where they're going to get there. And there are people like you in the groups who do typically do what they said they would do and more.
Yeah.
And then there are others who, if we're honest about it, do very little and come back a few weeks later with a great story as to why things haven't happened and progress hasn't been made. But you've consistently kind of made the progress and got the commitments done.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry, I interrupted you, but let's
okay,
pick it back up.
So just before I get there,
yes.
One of the things that we did when we joined Inner Circle, you know, because we've been in these business growth groups before,
mm-hmm.
and they have been good at taking our money, but we didn't really achieve all the things that we wanted to achieve. So when we got into, or thought about coming into Inner Circle, you know, Linda and I had sat down and we said, look, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be using this, we're going to making an investment. And because it's an investment, you know, we really do expect there to be a return.
Mm-hmm.
So you got, you know, you get out of something pretty much what you put in. So we decided that we were going to put lots and lots of stuff in. Anyway, back to this commitment form.
Yes.
On the commitment form, it was that we were going to take on more resellers.
Yes. Right?
And Linda being Linda decided out of the blue that she was going to contact a particular reseller. I'll leave that to you from now on.
Well, it was somebody we'd met before or seen at exhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said to Michael, you know, what they do is similar to us, but they're in a slightly different marketplace.
Yes.
There is no reason why they can't sell our stuff as well.
Yeah.
And so I contacted them and said, would you like to resell our stuff?
And the concept there is very straightforward, because and your whole reseller piece is there are other companies that sell into businesses And it, because they've got the relationship and they've got the contacts, and you know, if by adding their your product to their products, which may or not even be online learning, that they've got the relationship, so they can sell it. The product, as you said earlier, is such that there's plenty of margin in there, so it can be can work for everybody concerned, and it grows it, and it all works through. So you this reseller grow, getting some more resellers on board became an area of focus. There was this one in particular then.
Yeah, it's the first time we'd contacted somebody who was actually so similar to us. And I contacted them, said, "Can we get together? Are you interested?" And they said yes, and Michael went to meet them. And they were interested, I think.
They were lovely guys. Yeah. To be fair to this company, they were the product that they had was special. They were special. They were very welcoming indeed.
Yeah.
And we got on like a house on fire. Right? It was really really cool. And out of the blue, we received a little email from them as to whether or not we would be prepared to sell part or all of the business and what have you. And we were sort of. Well, that was quite nice, you know. Mm-hmm. It was nice because we were asked, you know. It was fantastic. So we pursued this, and I guess quite looking forward to being part of this organisation. They were quite good.
And at this point, because I remember that we had a phone call, and you told me that this had happened, and you were. It was. This is a quite interesting situation as an observer, as an outsider, because you were naturally and understandably. Quite excited by this. It was it's a nice thing to happen to have an approach.
You
like
could
this.
Tell them.
Yes, but you were also trying really hard to keep your feet on the ground because and this was my not concern as such, but I've seen it so many times when you know deals or you know offers are made and things have happened and then for all sorts of reasons they never get to complete. So what I was very aware of in talking to you, I thought, "Crap, it's great." I was really excited for you, but I also knew I thought I've got to here make sure we keep things grounded because this might not happen. Because it just for all sorts of reasons, in lots of cases, things don't happen. Yeah. But it continued to progress, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, going back in time, I mean, when we had our instructor-led training business, you know, we were pretty good at doing sort of million-pound contracts and things like that, which were good. So we'd been in what I would call the big boys' world.
Yes.
But you know, when we were in videos and the like, there's always the opportunities that are coming up. This is going to be the opportunity.
Yes.
And you always think, well, now is the time, and it generally doesn't happen. You know, you get let down. So, yeah, Nigel, you're quite right. We were excited, but you were telling us over and over again, don't spend the money.
Because that's what happens. Because mentally, not actually factually, physically spend the money, but mentally that's what starts to happen, isn't it? You start to picture what you're going to do and how it's going to work. And things progressed reasonably quickly. I mean, it was measured in weeks rather than months.
It was all going along, but... all of a sudden, there was like a silence. And we were a little concerned about the silence. And I put a call into the company, and there was still like a silence. And then one day, I was driving home, can't remember where I was, and I received a call from the chief executive, basically saying, hi, and I was expecting to have like a really positive conversation. Yeah. And it transpired that he was phoning me first to let us know that he'd just, in fact, sold his business. Right. So,
the company that had expressed an interest in was you were in negotiations to buy you.
Yeah.
Had themselves been acquired.
Yeah, but they'd been acquired by an organisation that was, you know, they work really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So when he told me that they'd done their whole deal within about like 27 days or so. I thought, wow, this is really quick, and it was well within the period that we were chatting.
So he hadn't kind of misled you or kept anything from you, as such.
Not at all, no.
But that was a bit of a crushing blow then, because
he was under a non-disclosure agreement; he couldn't possibly say anything. But I was really pleased they did come to us before any press releases came out and what have you, and it was very very nice. And that was that, and then.
So the deal was off, effectively.
Yeah, it was done. Dead.
There was no deal.
Yeah.
Which was a great shame. And I don't know. I can't remember what day of the week it was. I remember when you called me.
I was
on the motorway driving when I took that call from you. I remember that particular call. And let's just go now into the kind of Michael and Linda mode. That's quite a business mode, a minute or two, because, yeah, as you say, it is a business that the two of you are in together. You know, you despite all the rationally knowing that it might not happen and we mustn't spend the money and everything else, it was still a big disappointment, was this, because having been on the edge of something really significant and potentially life-changing, mm, and all of a sudden it's not there again. Mm. So how are you feeling, Linda, at this point?
How am I feeling? Very disappointed, but as Michael said, we've been there before. This, not the same thing, but similar things. But you try and tell yourself, well, hang on a second, okay, it's gone away, but at least you know that somebody was interested. And if one person was interested, then that means that other people might be interested.
Because,
you know, there's always this thing in the back of your mind, was you're working and working and working, but are you working other than just for getting your money in and getting your sales in? Is it actually worth anything? Is the business worth anything? So that was nice. But I guess I try and be the optimistic one. I'm the half glass half full person.
Well, this is now where the story gets really interesting, because at this point, let's be honest, if the story ended there, we probably wouldn't be chatting about it on the podcast. it's kind of interesting, but you know, but it's what happened next, and also it's the speed, because from, and again, my memory might be quite wrong. I seem to recall it was like a Thursday or a Friday when this deal got killed.
Yeah,
and wasn't it then? So then, what happened then the following week, Linda?
Okay,
this is the bit that I think is, I've got so much respect, you know, for you both, but in particular, Linda, for what you did here.
Okay, so obviously we knew who'd purchased them, because it was, the press release was out, and when Michael had been speaking to the chief executive, he'd mentioned a first name.
Right.
I searched on LinkedIn, and I found this guy.
So you found the
guy that had bought, who had been in charge of the deal, who bought the other company.
Yes. So like, can I say that? So Company A was looking to acquire you. Company A, though, was then acquired by Company B. And what you did was then go and find the guy, the head honcho at Company B.
That's it.
Okay. And what did you do?
I sent him a message on LinkedIn to say, "Hi, this is who I am. You may have heard of us. You've just bought this company. They were interested in buying us. Can we talk?"
Okay. And at that point, when you sent that note,
I didn't really expect to get a reply, but it was worthwhile.
Yeah. Okay. And this guy's overseas.
He's overseas. Yeah. But he was quite active on LinkedIn. You could see that, you know, he did quite a bit. So I thought, well, he might pick it up. I actually hadn't even realised I could message somebody that I wasn't connected to, but you can.
Okay.
You never used to be able to on LinkedIn, but you actually can now.
Okay. So you sent him a message.
Sent him a message, didn't expect to hear anything, and I didn't for, I think, 10 days?
Something like that.
And then all of a sudden I picked up an email which actually had gone into my junk mail.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which was, I would have picked it up on LinkedIn anyway, but it was the LinkedIn email that said, "You've got a message."
Right,
had gone into my junk mail, that said, happy to talk. Can we do it on Monday or something like that? And I emailed back straight away and said, yeah, happy. Next thing I knew, I got an email from, copied in an email from him to his PA, saying, "Set something up. Remember, they're in the UK."
Right.
And we had a conversation the following Monday. It was a Monday, so it was within
This is within a couple of weeks.
Within a couple of weeks of the deal dropping off and going through,
you're now in dialogue.
Yeah.
With the head guy at the company that's acquired the company we're going to buy you. Okay, right. Michael. So
then what happens? We receive another phone call. And Linda was out, and the phone call came in. This guy wanted to speak to Linda, and hadn't heard from this guy before, and he gave me his name. It's you. And so I went into, major sales mode, right? And we did this big pitch on the phone, and he said, "Well, he's actually in the UK." So I said, well, where are you in the UK? He said, "He's down in London." He's down in London, like, on that day.
Yes. Right? And you're
and
in Harrogate.
I'm in Harrogate, but he was on Manchester sort of the day afterwards. So I said, "Well, let's get together." He said, "Well, okay then." So I said, "We'll come to London." because I really didn't want to wait the extra day to go to Manchester. So we went. We drove down to London.
Literally, straight away.
Pretty much, yeah. It was. We did like about a round trip of like 8 hours or whatever it is, like for a 1 hour meeting. Right, so we had this 1 hour meeting over lunch eating sandwiches. And the guy.
So, hang on, I just want to get to the grips of this because this is where I think it's quite remarkable, this story. So first of all, in the midst of this kind of huge disappointment, you had the presence of mind to actually do some research and send an approach to someone that you never met, never heard of. You then get a response to this. Then this phone call comes through. Yeah. This must have been reasonably early in the morning, I presume, then, was it, this phone call?
Well, no, because he was in the UK.
Right, yeah, okay. So
it came through, I guess, I can't remember what time it was.
I'd had one conversation with him, which was that he set up after the initial thing, which was quite a long conversation, but didn't really go anywhere. It was more or less, I'll think about it.
Yeah, okay.
And then we're quiet. And then he called, and when he was in the UK, didn't it?
Yeah, so he called in the UK, and I guess it was because the conversation took place, like, I don't know, mid-morning-ish or whatever, or I thought, well, I didn't know who it was because I was expecting this major time difference and the like.
Yes.
So we went down to London, right? We had our meeting. Really, really nice guy. Right? And we sort of laid stuff out as to what he wanted to do. And he basically told us how much he wanted to pay us. And we sort of said, well, we'll think about it. Right? So I guess we must have created a series of heads of agreement at this meeting. And on the way back, we sort of sat and chatted as to whether or not this was a sensible deal.
Yes.
Right? And came to the conclusion
because this wasn't an acquisition as such.
No, no, no.
It was
this was the providing of a global license for our products. And was this deal viable?
Mm-hmm.
But what they were offering was so flexible and so, I guess, it was a really good business deal for them and an even better deal for us.
So they were buying effectively the rights to all your content, all those couple of thousand
to be able to distribute it globally,
to be able to do things globally with them, with that. But you were going to still be able to continue to develop and grow. You can still sell it as well.
We can continue to sell it, if we sell stuff outside of a specific group of customers that we've ring-fenced.
It's quite a long list, isn't it? I've seen. You show me the contract, and there's this list of customers, which is it reads like the FTSE 1000 or something. It's like this massive list of people.
They're all ring-fenced to us.
Yes.
Yeah, and beyond that, any new business beyond that, we have to pay them a royalty, which is only fair.
Yes,
but it's not restrictive in any way. And to be honest with you, I only have respect for this organisation. We did the contract very quickly, within a matter of hours. There was a few changes which we did, and they accepted and the like. And then all of a sudden it was, we thought, well, we've done all the changes and all of the changes were accepted, which was great. We were happy about that. And we got to the stage and we had signed it and we'd sent it off and then silence.
Okay. Oh, no. Here we go again.
And it transpired that we were waiting and waiting and waiting. And I think it was at 3 a.m. in the morning. I looked at my phone. I don't know why I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning. I looked at my phone and I realized that the email that I'd sent with the signature on came up and it said that it wasn't sent.
Oh.
It transpired that it was, but at that time it said that it wasn't sent. And so what I did was I went into the office, right, and I resent the email, right, at 3 a.m. UK time, which hit this guy's desk, and he pinged me back an email straight away telling me that, oh, no, the reason why it hadn't been signed was they had problems with their system. But don't worry, it will get wrapped up on the Monday morning, because this was on Friday night.
Right?
Okay. So we waited to the weekend. Right, Monday morning, their time was like, the morning didn't start until our business day had finished.
Yeah.
So we had to go the whole through Monday. And we waited and waited and waited. And we said we weren't going to make any sort of contact at all until it was reasonable, what have you. And then and then it needs to have CEO sign-off because of the amount. Right? All right, okay, so CEO sign-off. And all of a sudden we get an email to say, sign-off is complete. All I've got to do now is find someone to sign it. So it went through. Eventually, it all got signed. So it got signed UK time. It was, I don't know, quarter past 11 at night.
Okay.
Right? And very, very happy days, as you say. An incredibly happy ending. And
although at that point, you're still waiting for the money at that point, because I think the actual contract was signed.
Yeah, we had some work to do for them, right? Which was, we did. And we were absolutely adamant that the work that we were going to do for them wasn't going to be sort of slapdash. We were going to give them a really high quality product. Yeah. So that's what we did. We provided them a product, which, to be honest, is absolutely fantastic.
Because that involved effectively rebranding 2,000 videos. That was the work you had to do.
Yeah. So 2,000 videos, Linda and I went out, hired a bunch of machines sitting on our desks. I remember looking at four screens simultaneously. And we ran these screens with special machines for rendering videos and God knows what else. And we did 2,000 videos in how many days?
Just shy of two weeks.
Right? Yeah. And then we
had a few late nights.
Video dead. Right? So we did it all. We got it all out in time. And as, I guess, a gesture of thank you from them to us, they paid us all the money straight away.
So your bank account suddenly took this...
Yeah,
big change for the better.
Yeah,
and the reason that's the happy ending. Although as I say, it's only a start of a new chapter because it's a significant sum that's been paid. It's transformed the whole dynamics of the business. But the core business that you've got is still here and still exists, and you will continue to develop it and transact. And the customers that you've got in the UK are still your customers, and they still pay you, and the income is still there.
Yeah.
So in that regard, it's a slightly unusual deal in that regard. It wasn't a sale that was on the cards a few months ago.
No.
But it is a very significant, very significant kind of global licensing agreement. But for me, what makes it fascinating, why I was keen to try and get Michael and Linda on the podcast to kind of share their story is because of how you made it happen. Because but the truth of it is, most people, and I think I would have been in this situation as well, I would be where most people would have been. And what I think makes this very special, Linda, is that, you know, and it happened remarkably quickly, having had this kind of significant disappointment, you had the presence of mind and the resilience to not only think it through, but then to actually execute and send that note and track this guy down, because you didn't, you know, that wasn't even straightforward. You had to find the guy. It wasn't nothing about this was kind of handed to you at all. And telling the story, there is a danger that it all, when you tell it with hindsight, it all sounds remarkably straightforward and simple. Yeah. But it wasn't, and that resilience and foresight that you had to go and find this guy and just establish contact and just to see if, you know, and recognising that it might not, but actually if you don't, nothing ventured, nothing gained, as it were. And having sent the piece through, and that's the big nugget, and that's why I wanted to tell the story, and because it's got a tremendously happy ending, and it couldn't happen to two nicer people in that regard. I'm genuinely thrilled and chuffed to bits for the two of you that this has happened, and I appreciate you telling the story, because what I'm hoping is there'll be at least one other person listening to this who will think, shit, there's somebody you should contact, and it might not be about a licensing agreement or a sale, but there's somebody that you actually ought to send a message to, and actually, because sending the message is the trigger point, that's the butterfly fluttering their wings that actually, you know, days, weeks, months down the line, something very significant happens. I take my hat off to you.
You get a few knocks, you just got to get up and keep going. The one thing that I would like to mention, right, is that the CEO that we were working with, right, I'm more than sure he must have had a sneaky word with this guy.
Right, yes.
And all I can say is thank you. Yes. You know, this guy was a gentleman from the off, and clearly is now.
Yes,
that's
so. No, it's lovely. It's a very different little podcast, but hopefully you've enjoyed that story and the happy ending. And as a community within EC, genuinely there are lots of us take genuine pleasure when members of our community enjoy the success that you've had. So once again, congratulations to both of you.
I'm Thank you.
Chuffed to bits. We're recording this actually quite early in the morning because and Michael and I have come down from Yorkshire because we're going into our Inner Circle meeting now, aren't we? So we're going to get back on the bike and start building the next chapter. Okay. But that's this month's podcast. We're back in October with another one for you. Look out for that. Who knows what fascinating stories it may contain. Till then, have a great month. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle featuring Nigel Bottrell.